like, in short, if you can maybe just begin by telling me a bit more about what's your faith, what's your path, and, you know, maybe just about your early life influences, family, books, masters, people, you know, that sort of gently nudged you towards that path.
Okay, so, well, the faith and the sure idea of which you speak, what I always carried was that this world should become a better place. And I didn't find it quite so. And so I searched for answers because it raised many questions, including the question of a creator and God who has created this world. And all the answers that I found were incomplete. In the sense, they gave some answer. But, for example, the karmic law thrust everything on man. So, you don't need really creator if it's all just a karma going on mechanically. Whether reward or punishment, it's like you are in a process of law and there is no nothing which can support you or cancel or do something. So, that didn't appeal to me, also because of its reward and punishment nature. So I am more than justice. I believe in grace and love and compassion. So it didn't quite appeal to me of a God like that. Also because I didn't believe that there is a very clear-cut line of black and white and right and wrong. So again, this grayness, but the omniscient creator who cuts, you know, divides things into right and wrong. That didn't appeal. So these were the ideas which didn't appeal to me. And the end goal, Nirvana, which was very selfish because my concern was this world should become a better place. So then it took different routes. Like I want to fight in the Devasur Sangram from the side of the gods because I was very much into reading mythology just because I enjoyed it. Nobody taught me, but I used to love reading stories, plenty of stories first. And home was a traditional background of puja part, and I enjoyed as a child, but around 11-12 I started questioning, and then quietly I became an agnostic after my seeking, but I didn't tell this to anyone because all the ideas of God didn't appeal to me. So that was the phase. I was not much influenced by people because I believed in thinking for yourself, making your own choices. So I would take in whatever is coming. I would read, listen, but I have to process it and derive at my own conclusion. So mine was not like because someone says, therefore I accept it. So even when I read the Gita, I didn't or couldn't accept that time certain things like the Chaturvarna system or Shri Krishna when he speaks about, you know, even Sarva Dharman Parityaja. So, many other aspects. So, the bhakta was not yet in me. That time there was a seeker who wanted to understand, more a seeker of knowledge. And then practically, what can one do to, you know, make the world better? That was my seeking. So, love for the divine didn't really, that time, attract me much because it's something very personal and, you know, how does it help the world? All these, I think everybody carries these ideas. So, nothing new. Then, when I became an agnostic, I thought, okay, my core faith and idea is to help humanity and maybe I should just become a good doctor and a good human being. I was not an atheist. There is God. That's logical, common sense. But it didn't attract me. I'm not saying he's a bad God or good God, but the idea of God for personal salvation was like a selfish act. So it didn't attract me. So I thought at least as a good doctor and as a good human being, maybe I can help humanity. But the seeking was there deep inside, buried, because I simultaneously understood that intuitively, that the frames in which we operate are very limited. So, I studied medicine and I felt this is very limited. It's all based on materialistic paradigm that, you know, matter is everything. So, this can't be the ultimate knowledge. It may be useful for my present, you know, I have to give paracetamol if somebody has fever. And there is a framework given to operate, understand diseases. But this I knew intuitively that this is not all. There has to be much more which I don't know. So the seeker was there. And then I, of course, Sri Aurobindo pulled me, that's the only word I can say, into a bookshop. And I saw his book, The Synthesis of Yoga, and read the Mahamantra, All Life is Yoga. And that was it. I knew I have found where I need to search. Before that, I had number of experiences, even otherworldly experiences, out-of-body experiences, even seeing Sri Aurobindo's bust. But it never struck me as, it struck me as the most beautiful form I have ever seen. But since I didn't believe in worshipping, by then I was out of worshipping gods. So now if you don't worship gods, how do you worship a human being? That's my logic. So Guruji, all this never really appealed to me. So for me it was the most beautiful form. So then Sri Aurobindo came as a final answer. Automatically I knew, oh, this is what I am seeking. So as I read, then same day I got another book, Secret of the Vedas. So it was like opening a totally new door where I found all the Alibaba treasures I was looking for. So I said, ah, mil gaya. So I read and read and read. It was like a fire. So Sri Aurobindo, then the mother, to cut a long story short, and then I don't know how they put me into seva, their service in one of the centers. It was a totally miraculous unfolding, one after another. All this is there also on YouTube, the detailed part. But just to give it in short, that they first satisfied my thirst for knowledge. But it was intellectual satisfaction, which is different from spiritual experience. Because that only can ultimately satisfy. Because you may know intellectually and you have, okay, fine, this is it that I am seeking. But you have to reproduce that knowledge in your own life experience. So, yeah, I understand such a God, but if I don't experience God, if I understand that there is a soul within and has its journey, but if I don't know my soul, then it's like halfway through. So, a journey began. So, it was not just intellectual knowledge, but a journey began. And in that journey, the Divine Mother, of course, that was another interesting revelation. How when I saw her picture, I knew that she is the divine. Automatically, it's all intuitive. And I was struggling with quitting smoking, and I got a command. Here somewhere I heard the voice, stop smoking, and it just went away. So she started leading my life and guiding, caring, whatever I may say will be less. And suddenly I found myself involved in outwardly taking care of one of Sri Aurobindo's centers as the secretary, but inwardly I know it was a great opportunity given by the Mother's grace to do seva. So I didn't know what is seva. I thought, yeah, this place, I have to do something, make it better. But I didn't know that I am becoming better in the process. So then seva ka... I was a doctor. I was with the Air Force as a flight lieutenant. I was married. So, seva became like a leap progress. So, I keep telling people also that you may know everything, you may meditate and all that is fine, but what service of the divine can give you, that nothing else can. At least that's to my experience. But naturally, in Air Force, I was posted. After that, I went for my MD in psychiatry. So, again, there was no such opportunity. Then again, I was posted to Bangalore, where again, opportunity for seva came. Then during this phase, I didn't realize that slowly my heart is beginning to love the mother. Actually, I didn't realize. And it became so deep, and it's like there is nothing else matters. It's like whether you have love from any other source or nothing, but she is the one. Anyways, I was not looking for love from someone or somewhere. But it's like now you have to only give, because you know there is so much love which comes in the heart. So it took me time to even assimilate that, still taking time, because it's something very tremendous. Infinite love of infinite door, door of infinite love opens upon you. Infinite knowledge opens upon you. So it's difficult to assimilate and integrate. Knowledge still could, because I had a outlet. She only created all these platforms. I have done really nothing. From my side, zero initiative for Aroma, where my talks come, Aska Logda, where all my questions come, but without any personal initiative, books, Now about 13 books have come, another 8 volumes are coming, 9-10 volumes. So all this, somebody took the initiative, somebody requested, so it went on. But it allowed me to, because you know, when you keep receiving, you have to share it. Otherwise, at least for me, it worked like that. So it worked very well because it remained like a power in circulation, energy in circulation. So knowledge, seva also, so it, whatever I received kept circulating. But love is something which is very tremendous. So how do you know, you can't just go randomly love. So, but the love for creation, all this week woke up. So that also she led and she is leading. So I don't even know how I have come here. I don't know whether I have come anywhere or not. She is there.
Yeah. When you say that you had, like you started feeling love for the mother, the divine mother, are you talking about Mira Alfasa, the mother?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. That form, because love is universal. And but I understand, and that's why I can respect anybody loving anyone. So if somebody loves, say, Krishna or... anyone for that matter, it doesn't matter, because it's something very sacred, beautiful, intense. To me, it has come in the form of the one whom we know outwardly as Mother Mira Alfasa, and of course, Sri Aurobindo, they are together. So to me, it has come like that, but there should be no sectarianism or, you know, tendency to convert that mine is the highest. To me, she has come like that. So I have to be faithful for that, because that's how she has come to me. Yeah. Because love needs a form, you know, most of all. It can't be just it can be a disembodied impersonal love. I know that also. Impersonal and universal love is there and I experience it. But when it takes a form, then it's very fulfilling. It's like completing it. Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. What would you say is your swadharma? You know?
My swadharma, no, that's very right. See, my swadharma was like a kshatriya. So my swadharma was initially to fight for light. So it was not justice in that sense. Not justice in the sense, that's one part of fight. But fight for light means there is so much ignorance at every level. Like what I felt is, you know, not only certain things which are outrightly not the right thing to do, but things which are born out of fundamental ignorance. So that used to be like treating men and women unequally. I mean, that for example. So it's ignorance. It's basic common sense. You should not be doing it. At the same time, I knew that equality doesn't mean that a woman starts imitating man. You know, starts smoking, drinking. So you see, it's not just about justice, but about light. So it was my swadharma to fight for light initially. And as I said, Devasur Sangram, even as a 5-year-old, somebody asked me, what would you like to do? And I would say, I want to be a warrior from the side of the gods in Devasur Sangram. So this was my swadharma. Then the warrior aspect went subordinate and more of a, seeker and knower, they got together. A knower is always a seeker because knowledge is infinite. And so this took over more of a brahmanatva, if you want to put it, you know, from kshatriya graduated into more of a brahmin. That I must first have that fullness of light. And then now it went beyond that, well, beyond all the four. Now it's like sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. So wherever the mother takes me, whatever she does, to love her and serve her, and to know her more and more so that I can serve her better and better. If you ask me to be, instrument is a very big word, and often ego comes there, so I am not even using that word, but at some point it was to become an instrument of the Divine Mother. But now it's like be one with her, and whatever she wants to do with this individuality or human personality, all this I'm saying as words, but that's not how I identify myself. But is my dharma, if you want to call it. So wherever she sends me, whatever she wants me to do, whichever way she takes me, I have no formats that I must do this, there is a mission, or I have this work. It is mother's work she has given, she will manage. I have to just allow her. And if she takes it away, she takes it away. So that way I live my life. So now to love her more and more, to serve her more and more, to know her more and more, to become, and she is infinite. So to become one with her more and more, not only in my soul within, but in every movement of the body is my dharma now, if you want to put it.
That's why when you say that, you know, that usually we have a purpose statement in our mind. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Even that has dropped.
Yes, whatever is her will is my purpose. Becomes my purpose. So it's there is nothing individual. Yeah. So it may change. Today it is this. Tomorrow she may guide me or direct me elsewhere. And that will be fine. All that I have to make sure is that it is her guidance and not one of those suggestions or my ego masquerading as a guidance. That I have to be sure.
Yeah. How do you identify?
Good question. Because many times a mother is making me do, mother is making me do.
Yeah,
whenever the divine takes you, there is tremendous inner peace and joy. There is no restlessness. Means emerge naturally. There is no even this key. Oh, mother is making me do. I must do it somehow. If she is making you do, she will create the means. She will manage everything. You have to just remain open and let things unfold. So that stress which is there comes from the ego. Oh, she wants me to do this. I am so... Now the moment you see, she wants me to do it. But who is doing it? She is doing it. So I have to just remain open, you know, like Arjun to Krishna. He is still doing to the outer eye, it's Arjun. But to the inner truth, it's Krishna doing everything. So that's the state at this point of time. Oh, very much. You know, I keep hearing mother's instrument. I have to do this work for mother. I am doing for mother. Whereas it's ambition and ego playing all the time. So one has to be very conscious. But then it's each one's journey. I'm not here to correct anyone. But one has to be very careful. Because when things masquerade as spiritual ego, and you know, you even try to present yourself in a certain way, almost a show and sham comes. I'm supposed to be a Swamiji, so I must dress in a certain way. I must speak in a certain way. It's like for influence, impressing people. That is very blatantly a play of ego. But it's okay, to each his own journey. But personally, mother's work gives lot of peace, joy. There is no restlessness. And she fulfills. It's effortless actually. It's the joy of effortlessness. There is no effort in that. You don't prepare. For example, if you have to give a talk or if there is an interview or anything, you are not preparing. You are not having formats in your mind. Oh, I have a talk today. Therefore, what are the points? 1, 2, 3, 4. You are not making a slideshow presentation. All that is mind. So, but if she is the one who has to do it, she will inspire. So many talks are there now, for example, on Aroma itself, but not one single talk is like gone through a format or through a preparation or anything like that. So because she has to inspire. If I'm not feeling inspired enough, let us say that means I have to correct my inner state. So be more in tune with her.
So how do you get to that point?
That is where the whole sadhana is, to remain quiet, to have complete faith in her. That she will do what needs to be done. Faith is, that's where we come back to faith. It's so important. So that faith in all that has changed now into a absolute faith in the Divine Mother. That she will do what needs to be done. There is nothing else which is important. And this faith should persist through everything. The things may be difficult. Everybody in life has difficult hours, days, weeks, years. So all of us go through. I have my own journey with my own tornadoes and storms hitting me on the way. But it's mother's grace that somehow this faith in the grace always remained and carried you. As if you look back, then you understand, oh my God, this storm could have completely shattered you on one of those aisles which are on the way. But she just carried you. You just felt a little jolt. What could have been a crash landing? So, you know. So that faith is important, that's what I feel. So if you have faith that she will do everything, she will do everything. And then the sign of faith is you are not worrying and anxious. Faith means effort you will put in, you know, whatever you have to do it. Like if I have to come here today, there is an interview, I have to manage the time, I have to come and show that the phone is all charged. But then you are not worried. You are not inwardly anxious. Oh my God, I have to do this. I make a checklist. All that is gone completely. So it's a state of great inner peace. The more quiet we are, the more we are full of faith, the more we are open to her, whether by remembering her or making her the center of your life. That's what I mean. That whatever happens to you is no more of any importance. Her will alone is important. Whether you live or die, you have illness or health or people insult you or they praise you, all this has no meaning at all, because you are here for her to work through this body, mind, life. And how people see it and do it, it's of no importance. So this one will know inwardly, a state of equanimity.
I was just going to say that equanimity.
Yeah, but nobody else can know this. You will know this inside, or more importantly, the Divine Mother will know. So yeah, equanimity and nishkam karma, remember and offer, are three basic practices. That when you do something, don't do it with the idea of a result. And don't monitor the result. Don't go back to what you have done. Oh my God, I didn't do it right. What will people think? And you know, or for instance, on a YouTube, how many people have put a like and how many are your followers? It should be gone. I don't go back and check any of my talks or on the website. I don't have even an access to them. So he once told me that, I realized you don't have access. I said, it doesn't matter. I'll never be going and monitoring, seeing anything, because that moment is gone. So it's important not to get into nishkam karma. People may say, oh, wonderful talk. Don't feel, ki chardana, ki you are somebody or something. And you'll know it inwardly, not outwardly. You don't have to tell people, I am nothing, because that also becomes a movement of ego, that see how humble he is. You have to just smile inwardly. Or they may say, oh, what a horrible thing you did, or it was. So it should leave you unaffected. Because you have done what you had to do. You have to learn and grow constantly. And growth, by growth I mean, all that is needed to be is more and more aligned with her. That's what is growth. So if I am more aligned with her, things will go the right way. Right way means her way. And if I am not aligned and, well, things didn't go in the best way, even if the world praises me, I know inwardly that I was not aligned. So I have to rectify that. So you have to be, that's what is empowering and autonomy, words which we speak today nowadays. Okay.
So how do you bring this in your, like, let's say, a therapeutic space?
So I, again, yeah.
How do you look like in a therapeutic
space? Yeah, So again, I don't have this identity that I am a doctor and I am healing. That's gone long back. Then I don't have a format in which I must operate. So there is in me because I have studied medicine, there is the informational knowledge of the science of allopathic medicine. And there is also understanding of psychology because of my training, and also my own picked up a lot on Indian psychology, all that understanding, plus my own intuitive sense, all that is there in the background. That's how I've been, nurtured. Now, in the shaping of the instrument, now when I'm before a client, I'm using words, somebody has come to me, maybe a client, not a client, but somebody comes, raises a question or seeks help because one is going through distress or has a physical illness, I'm not acting according to any format. So I see that time a natural inspiration, Anandmayi Ma had a very nice word for it. I love that word. It's called khayal. So, she used the word in that. So I wait for that inspiration. And when that inspiration comes, then I would speak what I need to speak. I'll prescribe what I need to prescribe. I'm not having, no, I'll never use allopathy. No, I'll use only this line. No, nothing. There's no preference of that kind. Preferences must go. And naturally the Divine will use whatever is He has given me, equipped me today. But if He equips me with a new knowledge, which also I have seen, new ways come. So then I have to leave that aside. For instance, sometimes actually I am not saying anything much. I am just waiting, sitting, and people feel healed. Sometimes I just go there and just caress them and tell them a word like, you know, all will be well, don't worry. And they are fine. So, what is this system? There is no system. I mean, I am not there to prove a point that I am having a half an hour discussion with you. So, I go by that. Now, this is a new means which at some level I had experienced as a, even as an intern. When a patient had appendicitis and I don't know why I was moved to just to put my hand over the right iliac fossa and I just somehow inwardly, I can't say prayed, but as if some peace is coming and that's it. And the patient was actually healed. This is my experience of a direct healing. This has happened sometimes and people have gone back just having a single session. One of them who is a very good friend, quite a few people like that, but who turned toward Mother and Sri Aurobindo and he has become a very good friend. So his description I can tell you, it's not about me, but how these things can operate. So I was in Air Force and another Air Force friend sent this man who was in Army. He was going through a marital problem. So he came and he said, I want to discuss. So I said, okay. So I don't remember what I spoke to him. He remembers and then he says, when I walked out, I was on cloud 9. I don't know why. And his life changed. Now the interesting part is not that he patched up with his wife, by the way. They separated. But his life changed inwardly. He had the one who had come and his child's life changed completely. And he's a very different person altogether. He said that was like a transition point of my life. So now, it's not like a format that, oh, they have to patch up, they must build harmony and, okay, tell me what are your strengths, weaknesses, meeting points, as typically I would do, ki, okay, what do you want and, okay, next session I'll have with her and we'll do a joint session. So, but this is something very different. So, I've done joint sessions also. I'm not saying that, again, it's not like this way, that way, but something else works, which I can't really define or pinpoint, but I can closely say the divine grace which works and it has its own way. It's an incalculable way. It has its own way. It fulfills its will, taking us through paradoxical routes. So, you know, even sometimes separation, if it's good, it's fine. They are both growing. So, I don't have any format inside. That's all. I remain open, wait for the inspiration. So, I don't remember. Probably 45 minutes we met that day. But what I spoke or transpired, I have no clue. So, there are people like that whose life changed. They remember. I, like, will be hard put to test, you know. So, that's how it is. So, I don't know what I do.
In our conventional training, it's so very different. Like, you know, a part of me would be really scared of even calling myself like a spiritual healer because that's going to, you know.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, like a lot of people who are non-believers would not come. Like, it's a bad thing to be.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. So I'll tell you that, you know, it's normally mind builds a format. It cannot understand. It's like it wants to give a format even to God, who is infinite. So he puts in a format. Unless he makes a format, he cannot understand. But the divine is, of course, that's why he's called as, you know, to use the terms of the Gita, achintirupam, you know, he is beyond comprehension, ineffable. Those terms which had no meaning for me at one point of time, now they make perfect sense. You can't define. But he can use any format. He can go beyond any format. So, sometimes, yes, I agree that, you know, even using a term spiritual healer can come in the way. So, that's why I addressed you as a healer. So, in fact, if you ask me, a healer by definition should be a spiritual healer, even if he doesn't know about it. There is something higher than himself which uses him. So, by default, a true healer is a spiritual healer. I remember somebody, it's a very humbling experience. There was some question answer session and I forget. And in the course, one person asked another, what do you think of true love? So, the person gave a very interesting answer. He said, well, There is only one love. So, love by its default is true. But it can become like Ganga getting polluted. So, love in its origin is true. Now, the moment it enters into the realm of ego, desire, passions and all the play, it gets deformed. But that's then no more, you know, so you have to say deformed love or whatever. But love in its origin is invariably true. So when you say true love versus false love, it's a kind of, there is nothing like false love. There is a deformed love. There is a degraded love. So I love this, you know. So same way all healers, whether they believe in, today only someone said, but sir, I didn't believe in God. I said, don't worry, God believed in you. So that's why you are there. So,
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
You also said that in the letters on Yoga, Sri Aurobindo had said, you know that the mother loves you.
Yes.
And this is my personal experience. So the way I see healing and whatever spiritual evolution is like, it goes in tandem.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the same thing. And I know we're talking about like not having any structures, but if I have to take an approach or a stance, then that would be mind, essentially.
That yes, there is an angle. Absolutely, there is an angle. Say, if there is a homeopath, the divine will work through his homeopathy. Yes.
But something that I also noticed, I find it very hard to, and I had insecure attachment, and you know all of that work was happening. But I find it very difficult to believe that the mother will love me. You know,
Good, yeah. her love is the guarantee that we will be purified. Who else will love and who else will purify? Man by himself. Yeah, because we have this moral format. That's what I meant by a Manichean creator. We are constantly posing opposites, but life moves in shades of grey toward the light. Yeah.
I
understand. So, see, outwardly, I don't think that circumstances turned me towards the mother. It's that she turned me towards her, or, you know, whatever way you want to put it. And then I understood my circumstances, situations better. So, if you ask me what practices, well, at different times, different practices took hold of me. Let me put it like that. So, for example, meditation is something which I have in a way continued, though I have never given too much importance to it. But if you ask me, right, even before turning to God, flight lieutenant, who I had not turned towards Sri Aurobindo and the mother. I was kind of agnostic, but I would do Gayatri Mantra practice concentrating here. Then I dropped the Gayatri Mantra, but I would put on Ravi Shankar Sitar and I would try concentrating here. Why? I have no clue. But I felt good. I felt I should do it. That's it. So it was not with any aim in mind, but somehow that, you know, something you should do. Of course, visiting temples and all rituals never was in my thing. So, but seeking, so I would read. That was another practice. So I would read a lot on, as I said, everything possible. I don't know, mythology, Gita, Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, you name it, and Mahabharata, Ramayana, of course. And I would love some of these aartis like Sri Ramchandra Kripalu Bhajman. But it was not like a practice doing anything. And then ultimately it came to Sri Aurobindo. Now when I turned to Sri Aurobindo, reading Savitri and prayers and meditation. These are two things which have been wonderfully, consistently, very helpful. So apart from my
challenges that you were facing in that time, like in your own path?
Everything, like any human being. So see, ambition was not there much into me ever. So I got everything served on a platter also. It is also true that, you know, कहते हैं ना खेलते खेलते जस्ट बिकेम अ डॉक्टर जॉइंड ए फोर्स एंड एवरी थिंग दैट वन वुड ऑर्डिनरीली वॉन्ट टू हैव आई जस्ट गॉट इट विदाउट इन फर्स्ट अटेम्प्ट आई गॉट थ्रू ऑल दी यू नो मेडिकल कॉलेज एग्जाम्स सो आई नेवर हैड टू स्ट्रगल सो एम्बिशन नेवर केम अप बिकॉज यू नो आई डिडंट हैव टू स्ट्राइव डिजायर फॉर वर्ल्डली थिंग्स नेवर हैड बट समथिंग लाइक आई वुड बी हैप्पी इफ you know what they call as some kind of a name not exactly fame but if somebody said you know very nice things like praise so you know it would affect me are then I would remember nahi karna hai samta ka abhyas karna hai so but you know that would come and it used to come my one big weakness was that my heart especially after opening to the mother's love that my heart started experiencing lot of love and perhaps because of this people did get drawn and they still get drawn so initially it's very unsettling because on one side I felt that if somebody really feels a deep love for you I'm just sharing everything very frankly you should reciprocate you know it's not like you can't spurn away love But in our life, you can't because there is a lot of ashuddhi in nature and it can create chaos in your life. So, this was one of the big problems because somehow people get drawn. I understand. Means it took me time to understand this nothing to do with me. It's all because something of her presence they feel. Something of the psychic being with which when I identified then that sweetness and all that people feel. It is nothing external. So, if you feel it's me towards whom people are drawn, then you may get totally sucked in a different direction altogether. But these things came as a challenge and created a lot of difficulty because for me it was like, you know, also my parents were worshippers of Lord Ram. So, I believed that and even still I believe that, you know, pran jaye par vachan na jaye. So, you know, if you once promise something, these are some sattvic kinks in my nature that whatever be the difficulties, whatever be the challenges, even if the person doesn't understand you, hates you, you should have compassion and fulfill whatever you have ever promised to someone. Now, a bug bites me if I am not able to do it. But mother's grace that she has fulfilled all that I promised. So, otherwise it would have been impossible. So, like if somebody, naturally it creates difficulty in relationship because people want to almost exclusively hold on to someone. And they don't understand if you have a lot of wideness inside the heart. I'm not going anywhere to anyone for any, you know, anything that I need. But it's very difficult for people to understand. Now people understand. But that was a problem at one point of time. Because it was almost like a lot of people getting, especially during my Air Force days. And it's like people literally wanting to run away and be with me. And it created a lot of problem. Because on one side I would feel responsible. I didn't know what is happening. I'm just about, what was my age, 28, 29, like that. And so it was like almost like a movement. I mean, while I'm in Air Force, they had started a whole thing called Dr. Pandey's fan club. These are not things done, no. And I used to feel very embarrassed, but it was there, and people would ask me, and you know, even some senior officers, some junior, and they would tell me like, "What is there in you that everybody gets drawn to you, which is not there in us?" So I couldn't tell them that it's not anything about me. You guys are much better. So this was a very big problem that I have gone through because it's like I didn't know how to navigate, very frankly. But now, especially now being in public in a way, because you know, once you have a YouTube and all this, you are in the public. So people get to know about you. They know your telephone number. They know. And I am very friendly by nature. Like I meet people easily, relatively. So all that became a big problem. And it's still a kind of a challenge, but more or less I've learned the ropes. That's all I can say. So I can't say I'm an expert. So my heart, or as Amrita in the ashram would say, my sweetheart gave me a lot of problems. So this was the difficulty. Otherwise, desires of any worldly kind, ambition or climbing up the ladder or being somebody, ego of that kind. Mother's grace, that it was never actually there. So even now I feel like a child. Somebody say that, you know, I never identified with Air Force rank. So all that was not there. But the heart and emotions, very vulnerable. Because of my soft nature. Matlab, wo kehte hai, makhan pigal gaya. What shall I say? Now I can laugh over it and sort of learn to navigate. That's my main difficulty.
So, relational, but
relational not because somebody is breaking my heart or somebody, because all that was out of my life long back. I never expected. Even now, if I love somebody, it's never with any expectation. Problem. Now you have actually tested it correctly. Now I don't have expectation, and I am fully, like, I can freely love. By love, I am not meaning that carnal love, but something very beautiful. But then people who get connected, they have expectations. Now this is a problem, because I don't have expectation. I expect like there will be no expectations. I expect that there will be no expectations, and people will just understand that it's a very joyous, happy togetherness, a deep friendship, a bond. But don't bring in the old world format of expectation and wanting to be like forever, or you know, acquire, possess, and jealousy. Now all that, when it is thrown, it's I can't handle. Because I don't have any expectation. I don't want anything from anyone. But people, when they get attached to you, actually I don't get attached. It's strange. Even with my love, I don't miss anyone. I don't get attached that way. But people get attached and they miss. So now I understand ki this is a problem. I need to understand that everybody is not feeling the way I am feeling. So slowly now, as I said, I have learned the ropes. But I have gone through a difficult, very terrible time.
<That's it. laughs> I would have probed a little more into that just to see how you manage that, but I know there's also time.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you how I manage. That I'll tell you. I basically always, I've never blamed anyone. If somebody felt jealous or possessive, I never blamed them. I always felt compassion. I didn't stop loving from my side. And I continued to purify and refine myself. That is, there's something in me which is triggering some movement in another person. So I would refine myself. And I would keep aspiring and going toward the mother and never hide anything from mother. So I would tell her, if you want to put it shamelessly, everything. Anyways, this right and wrong or virtue and vice aspect didn't exist. So it was very easy. And always to purify and refine and uplift more. So I never told mother, save me from this or that person or that person. I always would pray to her to do good to somebody who has even misunderstood me. And I would pray that somebody's heart should be at peace. So like that I have gone and only turned to her with greater aspiration towards more perfection. So I suppose if at all a process, this is the process that I have used. Because mental ways don't work. Mind is either or.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, because the natural tendency would be, you know, this person should just...
That's it. So I always see there must be something of the mother. But I have seen that those who had to drop away, they dropped away. It's just that, you know, that's the mother's way. I have not gone, try to explain or this thing. Somebody misunderstands you and drops away. It's okay. That's something which is her will. Now, all this is very difficult to understand from the outside. But I know what's happening inside me and the mother knows. That's all. Yeah.
Can I ask you?
Yeah. Please. Yeah.
So, basically, if someone is at a... Someone at a crossroads came to you feeling this pull of deeper calling but unsure of how to trust or follow it, how would you invite them to begin? That is one. And the other is, how can this path of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother's yoga, or just like even if we take out Sri Aurobindo and the Mother and make it more universal as yoga,
yes,
how can that be lived outside of Auroville as well, like just in the...
Yes, so first about those who come seeking help. So as I said, there is a whole map which goes on inside as to where the person is. It can't be a standard way of, you know, which applies. But a basic thing that I feel everybody should establish is peace. So, if you're not quiet and peaceful, then you can't really understand what's happening in your life, let alone solve. Even if you know some practices, you can't, because you're all stormy. So, first thing that I try to, you know, put across is that, look here, I mean, first thing is get back to quietude. Or get quietude if you never had. So whatever practice helps you, calling peace, sitting quietly, be away from what is distressing you, go take a break, play some games, turn your mind away, but bring back the peace, basic peace. Of course, there is the higher peace, so that some practices call peace. So it's something very open-ended, but unless peace is established, second cannot come. And the second thing which I keep on pushing towards, if you want to put it that way, is the urge for progress. So whatever you are today is okay, fine, it has led to whatever situation, circumstances. But if you remain on the same ground and keep analyzing, it's not going to help. So you have to move forward. Because if you are fallen in a well where there are snakes, you can't remain there and keep jumping and fighting the snakes. Get out of the well. So progress is the one thing which, in whatever direction, people get stuck in certain grooves of habit, patterns. So they must progress, they must move forward. So for that, I try to help them discover their own swadharma. Because, you know, otherwise they are progressing horizontally. Okay, I've got more degrees and that's progress. No, even that's okay, at least you are busy. But true progress means, what is your sadharma? Where did you get disconnected from your own self, from your own life? So to realign them to their own inner purpose, inner journey, and get them towards that direction. And as they progress, and through that period, you are supporting them as a friend or a mentor. That, you know, that they know that there is somebody whom they can approach, whom they can trust, and who will not, because they are very vulnerable and fragile. And their vulnerabilities and fragilities, they don't know whom to approach and whether they can approach or not. So they must have that trust and confidence. So once they develop a bond, it's like slowly, like a friend and a mentor, you are helping them navigate that passage. And then at some point, if you feel intuitively that there is something still greater and higher. Now, some people directly, because they get connected with the therapeutic aspect, they automatically start getting connected to Mother and Sri Aurobindo, because it's all over. So that way, when they ask, I never tell them without asking. So I can have a whole, I've taken classes, everything. I've never told anything about Mother and Sri Aurobindo unless they ask. When they ask, I tell them according to what they are ready for, and then ready to take them through the whole journey if they are willing. So I'll never on my own start telling them about Mother. Oh, you should turn to them, Mother will heal you, cure you, she will do miracle. No, I don't do that, because that's not how it works. So okay, you believe in, let's say, Allah. I've had a Muslim patient, for example, though I've always felt that now Islam has nothing spiritual left in it at all. But still, if somebody believed in Allah as an individual, so I would say, see, you believe in Allah, why don't you really surrender completely? Because it's their part of the religion, one of the things they teach is this. So I tell them that, look, why don't you surrender? So I've had clients like that, and they felt so good, and of course they don't understand the deeper sense. But they say, you gave me such a good advice, and you know, it has just helped me so much. I said, you are doing 5 times namaz, now for a change you just surrender inside, do whatever you want to do outside. But don't you think it's just a mechanical thing you are doing? You do. But inwardly you trust once that he will take care, because they are in your scripture. So because I have read Quran, Bible, all these things at one point of time, so it helps me to connect even that cord. So I strengthen their faith, because that's how the Gita puts it. So I don't cut somebody's faith Say somebody believes in God, some doctors do, oh, God will do nothing, science will do. Now, this is very dangerous. Even if you really believe in science and don't believe in God, I mean, let us out. You shouldn't do that because, you know, human beings have to be, or somebody believes in science. So, I tell them that, look, you know, you take the medicine with faith. You believe in the doctor, you go to him with faith. So, whatever way the faith is there, that has to be strengthened, ennobled, uplifted, universalized, and that's how I operate. So, Mother and Shurbindo, yes, some are ready and they come. I mean, whether they are ready or not, it's not my mind which is deciding. But I can see, sense, now I can even sense that they belong to the new creation. They are not the old format. They are a new kind of breed. So, with them I feel a special affinity and feel like going out of the way to help them. There are some others who are completely with the old format and they just seek help. It's okay. It's their life and their problem. But yes, there are the new format or not format, but going beyond formats, the new creation, children who come, like someone like you is coming. And then, you know, there are doors of infinite possibilities which open. So to the extent that they are ready and to the extent I am destined to be part of their journey, I am willing and happy to be part of the journey. In the process, I take in a lot of things and get whole day. That's why I told you. I am sorry, it might have sounded little, but what to do? So many things, you know, so yeah. So they get, I understand. Actually, it's a rounds that I have to take with, you know, people. So it's a clinical round, so. Nothing else.
I think it was really, really beautiful. I mean, there's so much, almost like I feel very inspired. And one takeaway for me is, you know, that it's not about the Swadharma just unfolding in psychiatry, but it is in your everyday.
Yes, yes. The practice is every moment your choices. Yeah, in a way.
Yeah, and it flows in your every interaction, yes, in your every action, but also that there is no, like, the surrender is to that extent where there is no one particular strong statement where you're saying, "Arey, this is my purpose and this is."
Yes, yes. What you are within, that flows in what you do. So it's not what you do, what you are within, and that progress you have to keep making. Like to me, even now or at any point, I believe till the last moment of death you need to progress and you can progress. Because have you really surrendered every breath and heartbeat? No. So till that is there, you haven't. So that's why when people talk about euthanasia, I said, yes, there is a euthanasia. Eu means good and thanatos means death. So I tell them that die to the ego and die unto God, to Him, in Him. So that is euthanasia. So even if you are in that total distress, everything is in distress, that's a time, concentrate, give yourself to the divine every moment. Anyways, you are helpless. So that's how I look at it, that every day is a progress, every so many things you can progress in so many ways, through attitudes, through, not so much through just what you are doing outside, like one may do meditation as a practice every day, but not progress, because one is doing it mechanically, it's somebody else's meditation, somebody has taught you, so you are doing it religiously. So it should be something very spontaneous need in you, and then it works very well. Yeah. So I'm not much in favor of all those formal structures, like we'll chant om 12 times, so the person is, you know, as helplessly doing it. So I'm like, stay quiet, and you don't even have to close your eyes. Stay quiet just to gather yourself. That's the whole idea. Yeah. And then continue. Yeah. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe when I meet you in person, I'll talk more about.
Yes, yes. It's been really nice talking to you. Very nice talking to you. So stay in touch, and anytime I'll be very happy. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Jai Ma. 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 Bye, bye. Thank you.